Hi, this is Dave Selden here, and we're talking to Mickey Kennedy, the owner of eReleases. eReleases is a press release service, been in business 10 years, and Mickey sent out a little bit over 15,000 press releases, believe it or not. Mickey, hi, how are you?
Just fine. How are you, Dave?
Great. We're going to talk about the differences between press releases, web releases, the different wire services, and I know you're going to give us a couple of your tips for writing a decent press release on your way to press release success. But before we get started with that, I'd like it if you could tell us a little bit about the idea behind eReleases, what led you to it, and give us a bit of the history.
Sure. I was working for a company down in the D.C. area. And I was doing public relations at the time. And we had a client call in. Actually, wasn't a client of ours, but someone who was looking to engage a PR firm. And he had just won a national award in heating and air conditioning, HVAC industry award. And he was really excited. It meant a lot for his company. I mean, this was a major honor in his industry. And he was looking for someone to basically write and distribute a press release for him. So as we talked with him, you know, it looked very obvious that he wasn't meeting our criteria for a client, a potential client. At the time, we were looking for someone who was willing to commit to a minimum of 6 months, and we preferred 12 months or longer. And I think our minimum engagement was like $35,000 at the time. So I talked to the guy, and he was just really sort of heartbroken because he said, I think I've called every public relations firm in the Yellow Pages, and nobody wants to take my money. He goes, I have a very simple need. I want someone to write and develop a press release and then get it out there to the media. And at the time, there wasn't a lot of options online. There was one press release service, and it was only specializing in technology. And by online, I meant a web-based or email distribution of press releases. Still had the big guys like PR Newswire and Business Wire, and that was basically it at the time. And I explained to him that he might have better luck, calling around and asking, small and medium-sized businesses if they knew of someone who was, looking for work in the PR industry. But he could tell he was really frustrated because he had a need, and he felt we are in the industry of supplying, press release development and distributing press releases, and it just didn't make sense to him that we didn't want his money. And I think that he didn't understand, for client recruitment, we were spending probably $5,000 just in, developing reports and research and, brochures and all of this background material just to bring a client in the door. And looking at someone who just had a single press release written and distributed with absolutely nothing else that they wanted done, in the future.
Just didn't fit the model for you guys. Yeah.
Didn't fit our business model. It still doesn't fit the business model of a lot of PR firms. There are a lot more solo practitioners who are probably able to fulfill his needs, and they're much easier to find today with the internet. But at that time, the people who advertised in the Yellow Pages were, predominantly those with big bucks. And I felt that this was a really important niche that really wasn't being fulfilled at the time. And that sort of got me thinking about, an alternative, sort of a web-based alternative to the news wires, and one that could provide services that didn't necessarily compete with PR firms. And that's sort of how eReleases has progressed. I mean, a lot of our clients are PR firms or referrals from PR firms where, a customer is in that exact situation. Their needs are such that they're not looking at a six-month contract or they can't afford a PR firm. But a PR firm recognizes that we fulfill a really good niche of press release development and distributing it to the media. And when we first went into business, all we had was our database of journalists that we had contacted. We spent about probably about 8 months contacting journalists and asking if they would sign up for our service. 10 years ago, it was very easy to get a journalist to sign up for our service. We just basically said, "Hey, it's like a mailing list. You can always opt out." And they thought it was kind of novel at the time. So when we launched, I think we had probably pretty close to 30,000 journalists when we launched. It's been fairly easy managing the journalists who sign up to our service. A funny thing that's happened over the years since we launched is we've partnered with a major newswire. One of our considerations for doing that was we want to give our clients the biggest bang for their buck, and we recognize that newswires are an invaluable resource for reaching the media, but many of our clients just can't justify spending $800 to $1,000 to have a release posted over the newswire. And the newswire recognized that our client base is not a client base that their salespeople are reaching out to and probably never will sign up with them. So it's just another way of sort of getting their brand in front of these people. And, perhaps some of them will outgrow us and, look to do business directly with the newswire. And, so far the relationship between the newswire and us has worked out rather well. And there are two major newswires or press releases, PR Newswire and Business Wire. PR Newswire is the oldest and largest newswire, and that's our partner. And the other large one is Business Wire. There have been a few others who've popped up in the past 7 years or so, and a lot of them are making great efforts, but they still don't have the penetration and reach that the traditional newswires have. They've invested probably, at this point, hundreds of millions of dollars in infrastructure, reaching basically every newsroom across the country and having their terminals there and, integrated with the intranets. And then also they are accessible on the internet. A lot of journalists work from home, so they make it very easy for journalists to, access the wires. And, the wires are very sophisticated. These journalists can look at the wires by industry. They can capture press releases that meet certain criteria. You can basically have a folder, if you're a fashion editor, that captures releases that go over the fashion wire, but only ones that mention certain keywords that you have and exclude certain keywords that you want to have excluded. Like if, Wranglers or Sears or Kmart is mentioned, that might be too retail of a fashion story for what you're looking for if you cover high-end fashion. But, you may want to seed it with high design names that, if that's in the release, it'll get picked up. So there's a great level of customization and sophistication with the newswires. They make it very easy for journalists to pick up stories, and that's why they the newswires are the predominant source of stories even to this day. The web has helped to democratize a lot, but I would say the bulk of stories and pickup still comes from releases that originated over traditional newswire.
Okay, so this is kind of interesting, Mickey. So you started your business as a web-based distribution service, and I know that today your releases are still put on your website and they live there, but now your primary focus is on the traditional newswire. I think now is a good time to talk to us a little bit about the difference between these various services, the web-based Associated Press, UPI, the PR Newswire type services.
Sure.
And tell us too, describe what is a press release.
Right. Basically, a press release is material that's written for the press. It follows the who, what, when, where, how, why sort of format of journalism to basically provide the facts for a journalist to develop a story. It's not the actual story that a journalist is going to run with. There are some exceptions. A feature story is a story that's written that you hope the journalist will pick up and run with. Most of your major publications won't do that, but it's really good in small dailies and weekly papers. As far as the different newswires out there, there are basically two types of newswires. There is the newswire of press releases, of which Business Wire and PR Newswire are the two largest. They run just press releases. Then there's like Associated Press, AP, UPI, which is United Press International, Reuters. These are wires that people are more familiar with because these are wires that run stories. And the way they work is they basically have stories that are written by their journalists and reporters, and they may use press releases and consider press releases for a story, but they don't run press releases. You know, a lot of people say, how do I get my release on the AP? You really can't. You send it to the AP, you hope that they'll develop a story about it, but it basically has to be reworked by AP because they want to control the copyright of it, and they want to then make it available to their members who can use it either on a subscription basis, that they have access to so many stories, or they work on a la carte or other different scenarios. But with a lot of newspapers, you know, who are having a rough time financially and economically, you know, they are relying more and more on these wires to get content. But that's one of the biggest things that we hear from people is, I want to get on the AP. And it really isn't something that you can do. You can't pay a fee and then have your release transmitted on the AP. You know, it's basically a service in which they only run their content that's written by them. They'll certainly consider your stuff, and if you, the best way to reach the AP is, again, on the wires, because the reporters at AP, while they will receive stuff via email, unless you have a relationship with them, unless they've signed up with your service like e-releases, the best way to reach them is to have your release cross a newswire like PR Newswire or Business Wire, which is a newswire of press releases. And that's just a big differentiator. Web-based releases have come into, legitimacy almost, where they're beginning to be recognized as serving a need. I was very cynical of web-based releases for a few years, just because you're not reaching the media. They're releases that are posted on websites. They're designed to rank highly in the search engines. And if they do, hopefully people will click to your website. Or some of them use iframes or other kinds of framing mechanisms so that technically they visited your website, but they may never even have seen your website. You have to scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page to see a web page that's sort of iframed in that press release page. But you're given search engine credit by, you know, it counts as a visitor because your logs will recognize that someone has gone there, even though they may have never even looked at your website. What it does for your site in the search engines, that's still it's something that everybody says you should do because your rankings will go up. But the people who've done the statistics have seen really no correlation between rank of a website just because it's used a web release system. However, if you haven't been Googled, your site's new and you're not in the search engines, it's definitely a way to, you know, get the search engines to hopefully spider you quickly. You know, having a page on that company's website and that company, the web release company, having that page rank highly really doesn't benefit you because it's not your page. You don't own it. You know, it's not your website. It might have a frame to your website. But having it rank highly, all it does is, you know, introduce the content on the page to web users. And while that may be valuable and some people find benefit of it, a lot of people that I've known who've spent a lot of money with these web release companies have been really disappointed. You know, some of them have spent $300-$400. No media have called. But, you know, largely because it's not really distributed to the media. Despite what the websites might say, it's not a place that journalists go to. I don't have any misconceptions that e-releases, which has been around for 10 years, is a major place that journalists go to. They don't go to e-releases. They go to the newswires. We have to reach out to journalists through, you know, subscription drives to have them sign up to our service. And it's gotten harder and harder for journalists to sign up because they're, you know, less and less willing to give out their email addresses. So, you know, I know that journalists aren't, you know, sitting there saying, I really just need a good story. I think I'll go to Google or someplace and just randomly try and pull up a story, the first place they go to is The Wire. And they'll go to Newswire Archives before they will go to a Google search, in my experience. PR Newswire and I think Business Wire both archive releases at this point indefinitely. And I think PR Newswire's go back over 10 years, and they plan on keeping them indefinitely available to the media. And media will go back, and if they're hunting for a telecom expert who has experience with a certain type of technology, they'll use these archived press releases to sort of try and get quotes from people or people that they might reach out to and contact. It's a lot of different sources of media out there, a lot of different sources for reaching the media out there, and there's a lot of confusion in the marketplace as to what's the best way of reaching the media. And I think if you talk to any PR firm or anybody who has expertise in getting media attention, they all will agree that a traditional newswire is really key. The second thing is facilitating relationships. And for a PR firm, that's their Rolodex. For e-releases, that's our database of subscribing journalists. It's not huge. I think right now we have about a little over 40,000 subscribing journalists, not considerably more than we had when we launched. But like I said, it's harder to get journalists to stay in your system, and it's harder to get them to sign up, because over the last 10 years, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but email has just has just taken off, and the level of spam that everyone's getting has just increased to the point that people are reluctant to sign up for things. So it is one of the things that e-releases is aware of, and we're very fortunate that we have a relationship with the Newswire, because combining the two definitely gives a really strong benefit to people who have press releases that want to reach the media. What we find is that, many times people will get pickup, and it's surprising. Sometimes they're from our contacts in our database. Sometimes they're from the Newswire. Often it's a mixture of the two. But it's basically taught us that our database, while small, has a very loyal base of people who have subscribed to our service and are actively reviewing and reading the press releases that they reach through us.
Okay. So let's say I'm a business singing about a press release. I've got a shiny new widget to sell. I'm a programmer with a new program, and I've decided, I need to send out a press release about this announcement, this new development. You've seen 15,000 releases go out. I'm sure you don't see them all go out yourself personally anymore, but you surely have a wealth of experience about the differences in quality in the releases. If you could share with the listeners, the most important, maybe one or two or three tips to create a release that's going to get read by a journalist that will lead to some print.
Right. I would say the most important thing about a press release probably happens before the press release is written, and that's what is the newsworthy angle or, benefit that you're announcing. Journalists pick up stories, something that's of interest to their readers. It's not a place where they consider ads or advertisements. They're looking for something that will benefit or entertain their readers. And so you want to focus on something when you write and develop a press release that sort of provides that value to the journalist and ultimately to their readers. And once you've started developing the story, the press release, it's you want to go top down. The most important thing is the headline. Headline's the thing that most journalists use as a criteria for picking up a story. When they're looking at feeds on The Wire, and to just use the industry example before fashion, if they're looking at fashion headlines, that headline is streaming on The Wire, and that's it. You're competing against headlines. So now, when they're looking at something and they're just browsing, is that message, that compelling entertainment value or benefit that you're providing, is that there in the headline? And it's surprising. I would actually even say shocking. The number of press releases that come through where the headline is not compelling at all, does not speak to what's really being announced in the press release, and just misses so many opportunities by using corporate speak and corporate names and really not getting to the meat of the release. Then going to the next important part of the press release is the opening paragraph. When you browse a newspaper or you're scanning through a magazine, especially one that you don't normally read, but say you've got a limited amount of time and you're waiting for a haircut, people generally look through magazines and they start skimming articles. And they start with the opening after the headline. And you want to make sure that you've got that compelling benefit or entertainment value or whatever it is that's newsworthy of your press release is, again, there in the opening paragraph, and that it's compelling, and compelling in a non-consumer way. A lot of people don't recognize that the copy you're writing isn't the copy that's going to appear in a newspaper. Journalists like to create the punny, fun headlines. Actually, I would say most journalists don't like to do that. It's mostly their editors who do that. Okay. But journalists, that's something the journalists create. Journalists don't like to read punny headlines on a newswire.
The journalist wants to write. The journalist wants to be the one that creates the content, right? I mean, the
right.
Journalist
they just
writes,
they just want they the meat, yeah, and the facts in the most objective appearing way. And by objective appearing, I mean you're writing about yourself, you're putting your benefits and highlights out there first, but you don't want to fill it with a lot of hyperbole, a lot of exclamation marks, we're really unique, we're great, things like that. Those are all marks of something that's written by someone who is not a specialist, someone who doesn't understand the market, because the market you're writing for is not the readers of the Washington Post or the readers of whatever publications you're hoping to reach. Your reader is the journalist. And, ultimately, you do want to reach those readers, but you want to make sure that what you're writing is in a professional style, it's fairly objective, and it's not very hypey. Staying away from the puns and the cleverness and, the trick headlines where you say something really, outlandish just to get someone to click on your press release. That may work on web releases because you're not reaching the media. You're reaching consumers, but certainly you do not want to do that for press releases that you're paying money to go over a newswire, because it will basically not get media attention, and actually will probably create media scorn and a few snickers among journalists. Look at this release, can you believe that this got sent out?
Right.
And
that's the only reason we get noticed.
Exactly. And that's not the way you want to get noticed, because those stories will never make it outside of the newsrooms. They'll never make it into print, and they'll just be clever anecdotes that journalists will pass along to each other. The body of the press release, you want to make sure that it's not salesy, that it's actually objective, newsworthy material, sort of written with the journalistic style and integrity of sort of the top down, getting the most important news elements out there in the opening paragraphs and the paragraphs that are closer to the top. And you definitely want to make sure that you have a press contact that includes a telephone number. A lot of people assume that an email address is fine. I'd mentioned that spam is overtaking a lot of email inboxes. A lot of messages are not getting through. Or you have a journalist that's on deadline, and they kind of need an answer from you, a clarification, within the next half hour, or they have to scrap this story and move on to some other opportunity. So if they can't reach you, and there's not several ways to reach you, you've lost a story, and you don't even know it. So email address is great, telephone number even better, even if it just goes to voicemail, as long as it's something that you actively monitor and will get back to them, that'll work as well. But you definitely want to make sure that telephone number is there. A lot of the news wires, the major guys, the Business Wire and PR News Wire, still strongly encourage you to include a telephone number. Up till a couple of years ago, it was a requirement. There has to be a telephone number in the press contact. And, it's something that if you aren't putting in there, you definitely should consider. There are there are people who will abuse these telephone numbers and call for marketing opportunities. And you just, you know, might have to use the voicemail option that I'd mentioned before, or just get a little bit better at sort of cutting people off and saying not interested. Unfortunately, press releases are publicly available, and people do look at them as potential marketing opportunities. I'm seeing that less and less lately, just because I suspect, just like unlike spam, the cost is rather high to actually invest having someone talk to someone, especially for someone who, in most instances, is not in a buying position. So that was something that we had seen really take off 2 or 3 years ago, and it settled down a bit. But there are companies that will also sort of use them, sort of the news opportunity thing, to sort of sell you something like, you know, we're really interested in your company. We want to do a piece on you. We actually want to bring out a camera crew and interview. And you're just thinking, wow, I mean, you want to interview us and my CEO? And this was just a little announcement about, you know, hiring someone, or, you know, a new feature in our product. But this is just really amazing. And before you know it, they're asking for $12,000 to $15,000. if anyone asks you for money, I don't care if it's for buying a copy of the book you're going to be in, run away from it. It is not legitimate media. You know, you see this with authors. You know, we want to run your poem.
Well, it's not even legitimate PR.
No, it's not legitimate PR. But, you know, anytime, I think that the people in PR got their model from the companies that would ask you to submit a poem, and then they'd say, we've accepted your poem. To make it final, we want you to buy this book. And the book is written on telephone book print, when the font is as small as the telephone book, and there's like 40 poems on each page. And the book doesn't go to print until that book is full, with hundreds of other pages with, you know, hundreds of other poems on all the pages. And everybody has to buy a book, or, you know, we'll have to take your poem out. And, you know, there's a lot of volumes of those things that were published. And I have to say, I mean, I don't want to go as strong as labeling it as a scam, but it comes pretty darn close to any time that you have to pay for inclusion. You know, it's a membership. It's a subscription.
Yeah.
It's not really an honor. So,
well, it may not be a scam, but it sure ain't worth much.
No, it isn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, these are some great tips, Mickey. Thanks so much for sharing them with us. I understand that if the listeners want to get some more information about press releases, again, no hype, no sales pressure. There's a place that they can sign up on the web to get some more easy free stuff via email.
That's correct. We've got a special webpage that we've got for people to sign up to get more information about what is a press release. And we've got a special offer where, you know, if you sign up, you'll be giving a special PDF with a lot of information about press release distribution services, what you should know. It helps to better educate people as to, you know, what to expect when they're developing when they've developed their own press release and they're ready to get it out there to the media. And if you want that free report, it's called 8 Shocking Secrets PR Firms Don't Want You to Know. You can just visit www.ereleases.com/8secrets.html. And it's just 8, the number 8, secrets, secrets.html. And just put your name and email address there, and we'll get that PDF directly to you. And we'll also give you our telephone number, email address. If you have any questions, you want us to look at your press release, you're just considering us, we're open to that. There's real people behind this business. We're not robots or automated engines that just operate on autopilot, although at times we wish we were. When you call your releases, you reach real people. We answer emails, we answer inquiries, and we don't mind looking at your press release to give you our thoughts about it and whether we think it would benefit from a press release distribution through our service. And surprisingly, we do get releases often where we say, you know, I think that you would be better served just sending this to a few local papers, introducing yourself, or, you know, sending it to this particular media, and maybe not spend so much money. We're not after, you know, dollars. We're after helping people, and we would like to make dollars as part of that. But, you know, we're definitely a company that is founded on helping small businesses and individuals who are, on a budget, and they're trying to get the biggest bang for the buck. And if we're not your best option, you know, we generally level with you. And, I think that sort of differentiates us from a lot of other services that are out there who, you know, when you call, you're speaking to a salesperson. When you call us, you're speaking to editorial assistants and editors. We don't have salespeople. And that's, you know, one of the things that I found is the people that you hire in sales are not the people who can look at a press release and take it apart and speak to you. From a perspective of whether you're going to get published and whether you're going to benefit from our service. And so, all the people who answer the phones at e-releases are editors and editorial assistants and people who are in the business of editing press releases and getting press releases out there to the media.
Great, great. Well, Mickey, thanks so much. I mean, we've been going a little bit over a half an hour. I know your time is valuable. I do appreciate you taking the time with us today. You've given a great overview, some great tips. And listeners, again, remember for the 8 Shocking Secrets report and download and email series, go to ereleases.com/8, the number 8, secrets, secrets.html, and you can sign up there. Mickey, thanks again.
Oh, thank you very much.
Bye now.
Bye.